Yeah, let's give up a clap, praise. Woo! Hey, we can let out a little shout today. Are you good with that? Let's let out a little shout. Yeah, man, we believe that. We're not just singing some empty lyrics. Like, we believe that's the God we serve is the God of miracles. And, you know, this week we've heard reports back that are incredible, blow my mind. And I hope I never get numb to this, but this week we've heard reports back that in our own church, in our community, that someone has been healed of cancer. Can we just give God a praise for that? Yeah, incredible. And then in the same way, we've heard just God doing some incredible things as well, which is not less than, but people have headaches and God healing them and the headache's gone. Can we just give God a praise for that? Like, that is not less hard. And so God's doing some incredible things here. And so I just wanted to give a testimony as we transition here in a second to open up the Word of God. Yesterday, I was at my house and doing yard work like many of you, and doing my yard work. And I like my edges straight on your sidewalk. Anybody else love straight edges and say praise Jesus for that? Yeah, somebody just got saved back there. But anyhow, I love my straight edges on my sidewalk. And so I go to get my edger and it won't start. And so, I mean, I'm trying, I'm working. You know, I'm a mechanical engineer, so I'm on the line here, like how I can do it. And I find out that like my string and the mechanism, it's broken. And so I hand over my man card and I go and get my wife's battery operated weed eater. Anybody else say, you know what I'm talking about there, when you give over your man card for the gas one and go with the battery one? Yes, I know, I did that. But as I got there, there's two lithium batteries, and I remembered, oh wait, my wife said she couldn't find the charger. And so I said, I'm gonna find the charger. And so, man, I went through my entire garage, looked and looked. Every bin, every box, man, I opened up, I looked in my cabinet then and there. And so then I'm like, I'm gonna go to my basement, you know? I got an unfinished part of my basement. It's got a lot of boxes, all the man stuff I was supposed to take care of. It's down there, you guys know what I'm talking about. And so I'm opening up every box that I can look at and can't find it. And so I get online and I see there's one part in Lowe's that is gonna cost me some money that I didn't wanna spend. And so I said, you know what? No, I'm gonna find this thing. And so I go back out to my garage and looked all again and couldn't find it. But I kept getting drawn back to this cabinet and I'm like, man, what in the world? And so I'm standing at this cabinet, it's open. I've already looked all the different shelves in this cabinet, nothing's there. But I said this right before I went to get the keys for my truck. I said, Jesus, you know where this battery charger is. He does. If he knows the hairs on your head, man, he knows where my battery charger is. And I said, Jesus, listen, I know how much you love me. Will you show me where this battery charger is? And no joke, as soon as I said that prayer, I see this little wire, this wimpy little cable. And I'm like, there's no way that's my charger. And I grab that wimpy little cable and I begin to pull it out of the top shelf that I'd already looked over. And as I pulled out, guess what was on the other end of that wimpy little cable? My charger, right? And so I took that and I ran inside and I said, hey, Jace, hey, Jet, come here. Baby, come here, Kate. I want to tell you, God just did a miracle. You think I'm joking? This is what I did. You know why I did that? Because I want to model for my kids what it looks like to trust God and to recognize him and to give him thanks. And so in my little living room, I said, guys, listen, I asked God that he would show me where this charger is. I've been looking for the last hour. I couldn't find it. And then I asked God and he showed me that next second. How many of us don't have because we don't ask? I don't want to get to heaven. And I'd be like, Jesus, like, why didn't I experience this on earth? And scripturally, there could be a chance that he says, Derek, you never asked me for it. I don't want that to be my case. And what God was showing me in this really minute little way is that he is a God who restores. Man, I'm telling you, if he cares about my lithium battery charger, how much more does he care about our relationships on this earth? How much more does he care about our finances and the kids that are gone and adults and they're running away from God? How much more does he want to restore them back to his own heart? And today, I think that God wants to restore some things today. And the thing that's really on my heart is that he wants to restore some hope. And I don't know if anybody else experiences this in this room today, but it's electric in here today. And I'm not a hype guy. I don't fake it. I don't want to just hype anybody up. But what God is doing right now is special. And I believe there's some grace in this room. And I didn't come for everybody today. Listen, I love all of y'all, but I came for maybe one person today to preach. One person that you've said, you know what? Life's not going to get any better. What's always has been will always be, and you've given up hope and you're dying on the inside. And today I came to preach, I prepared to preach for one person, and that person received the hope that Jesus alone can bring. Yeah. And so I'm gonna pray that right now over the one person. And so Lord, I thank you for every person here. I do thank you for every person. Man, every one of us have stories where you are working in and out and you care so much about the little things in life that you would come in when we invite you to the little things of life, but also the big things of life, the stories that we don't know how they're gonna end. We don't know where there's hope. And so Lord, right now, I wanna pray for that one person that I came to preach to today that is struggling with thinking that there could be anything better than what's going on right now. Where they've given up hope on what life could be. They've given up hope that life with you could actually be fulfilling, that there is such a thing as abundant life that's offered to everybody who would call upon your name. So by the power of your spirit right now, I pray that whoever that person is, one person, 10 people, 20 people, maybe it's all of us, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts today, that you would allow truth to penetrate the hardness of our heart, and that you would align our thoughts with your thoughts and our words with your words so that our life can be filled with hope even when we go through hard things. Jesus, we love you. Thank you that you are a miracle-working God. Do it today. Do it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give up one little praise, one last praise? Go ahead, have a seat. Man. So good. Hey, before I get started here, I want to give a quick shout out. Man, last Sunday night was incredible. Downtown Kingsport, we had our encounter night, and if you were somebody who helped make that event possible, if you were on the water team, the ministry team, the security team, or maybe the worship team, I just wanna tell you thank you. We had over 1,000 people gather in downtown Kingsport to make much of Jesus, to worship him. And that really is our heart. We don't wanna be a church that's up here on the outskirts of town that just gather together and rah, rah, Jesus. We wanna be a people that gather together to go out, to bless our city. And our city, if we weren't here, should say, man, there's something missing in our city because we're not there. Like, that is our heart. And I love that we did that last week, last Sunday. And we really got to bless and declare and speak some things over our community. If you have your Bible or if you have your phone app, go ahead and grab that out. And I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 2, Old Testament. It's the sixth book of the Old Testament. You'll find it towards the front of your Bible. In Joshua chapter 2, we're going to pick up right after Joshua is placed as the leader of Israel before they go into the promised land. And Joshua is trying to figure out what to do. And so he sends two spies, sort of like Moses did when he was spying out the land. We're going to talk about that actually next week from Numbers 13. That's next week. But this week, we're going to look at Joshua sending out two spies. And we're going to talk about a lady in our stories series named Rahab. Everybody say Rahab. Rahab, right? Rahab. I want us to talk about Rahab. So we're in chapter 2 of Joshua. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. So Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." Now remember, we talked about Jericho last week, right? This is the same city. And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. Now this is going to get real steamy, right? So they went to a prostitute's house. Her name was Rahab. They lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I did not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof, the two spies, and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out." So we're talking about this story of Rahab, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page of what's happening. Now, Rahab tends to get a pretty bad rap in church circles. Whenever you hear it preached, probably it's talked about because that P word that is always associated with Rahab, the prostitute, right? We get that. And so there's some different thoughts as we read the scriptures. Now, we don't know all the details about Rahab. We don't know her background, but we can make some pretty educated theological assumptions based on that. So there's a couple ways that she ended up in this occupation. Number one, maybe she was married and her husband died and she had to put food on the table for her family. So maybe she began to do that. Maybe she got divorced and so once again, she had to provide for herself. So she went into this occupation. Or maybe she never was married. Maybe she just entered into this occupation because it's what she wanted to do. Those are all potentially valid reasons why she became Rahab the prostitute. But I think there's a fourth one that we don't talk about very often that I honestly lean into and think this is the actual case. We got to remember, in this time and culture, Jericho was a society, a city that worshiped cult gods or pagan gods. And one of the pagan gods that they would worship was the god of fertility. And so they believed if they worshiped this god of fertility, that that god would then bless their land to be fertile and produce much food so that they could enjoy their life together. And so they would do things to try to get the favor of these gods. And one of the things they would do with this fertility god is they would actually engage in prostitution in order to worship this god. That's interesting, isn't it? And then we think about Rahab the prostitute. We could think that potentially Rahab was in this line of work as a form of worship to a false god. And that would change how we view Rahab, because Rahab now is not the woman covered with shame and living on the outskirts of town because she's hiding. Rahab would actually be a person that was well thought of in that community and was actually the means to which people would worship God. A much higher view of Rahab in that culture than we honestly give her when we read the story through a Western lens. And I say that because I believe this is what we see in the story, is that the king sends somebody to Rahab and says, "Hey, Rahab, I hear these spies came to your house. What happened to them?" And the king knew Rahab. Now, we could read between the lines. Maybe there's a reason why the king knew Rahab. I don't know, you know? It's honest, real story, right? Or potentially she was a woman who was known not just for what she did, but for her role in society, being part of their worship. And then when she tells the story of what happened, the king didn't say, "You know, I don't believe you. Let's go ransack your house and find these two men." The king actually believed her and took his men and ran after where he thought they were, right? I think that Rahab was actually a very trustworthy person in the eyes of the people of Jericho. Very different view than what we honestly think about her. Now, why did these spies choose to stay at Rahab's house? Now, number one, she lived on the outside of the city, into the walls, we read here, and so it would have been easy to access this point. But also, you know, when different visitors would come to Jericho, they would honestly have partaked in worshiping the god of that was worshiped there. And so many visitors would have come, and they would have worshiped through her occupation. And so there would have been a lot of people that weren't from Jericho around Rahab, and so their hope was just to blend in. And so they picked Rahab, the house of the prostitute, for them to hide in. Now we pick up the story in verse 8, continues on. So the king and his men are after where they think they are. And then look at verse 8. It says, "Before the men lay down, the spies, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land.'" Isn't that an incredible statement? For a Canaanite woman, not an Israelite, Canaanite woman. "And that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before when you came from Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, from whom you devoted to destruction." Look at verse 11. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Do you think that Rahab was a woman of faith based on that statement? I think so. That's a pretty bold statement. That your God, the God that I've heard about, that I heard a testimony about, that your God is a God who is above heavens and below the earth. And she heard these stories because, once again, of her occupation. People from outside of Jericho coming through and saying, "Hey, have you heard about the God of Israel? Have you heard of what he did as they crossed the Red Sea? Have you heard about the victories they've had?" And so her occupation actually positioned her to hear the stories of the Israelites. And through that, what I would put before you today, she became a woman of faith. Faith in the true God. The one true God. Here's what I want us to see first about Rahab, is that your future doesn't have to be the sum of your past. Your future doesn't have to be the sum of your past. See, Rahab was not an Israelite. She was a Canaanite woman. She was the opposite, right? And also, she had given her life to idolatry and worship, and yet God used that woman, when she expressed her faith, to conceal or hide the spies and then actually bless her family through it. I love how Dan McCollum, he says this. He says that never let your performance, the performance of your past, be the prophet of your future. Isn't that so profound? He says, never let the performance of your past, your failures, your bad decisions, your bad relations, never let all that be what prophesies in the future about what your life's going to be like. Because I want you to know that cycles are meant to be broken. Bad decisions, bad relationships in the past don't necessarily have to be part of your future. And I say that because we see this in Rahab, and we see all throughout the scriptures that our God, the God who we just sang about, the God of miracles, the God who comes to us and runs to us, that God, he is a God of restoration and transformation. This is who he is. Now when we say restoration, I want you to think, all the guys in the room, think about like the best car you've ever seen. Now here's the idea. When a Corvette, a brand new Corvette, some of you are getting really excited right now. He just said Corvette, you just woke up, okay. So Corvette is rolling off the manufacturing line. Guess what they're not gonna do with that car? They're not gonna restore it. Brand new, it doesn't need any restoration. Man, it's got all the bells and whistles, got a big engine under it, everything is working perfectly. That new car doesn't need a restoration. You know what needs restoration? Cars that have been left alone. Cars that have been left out in the junkyard, cars that have been broken down, cars that are missing parts, cars that are worn out, have been beaten up. Those cars are the cars that we take and restore, right? And here's what I want you to know. If God is the God of restoration, he is not surprised when you come in weary. He's not surprised when you come to him broken, when you come to him just down and out and hopeless. He is not surprised by our junk. That's actually where he meets us and brings restoration from that moment. But he's not just a God of restoration, he's also a God of transformation. And you know what transformation means? Change. Change. Man, in Rahab's life, man, she was on a trajectory, and then she had this encounter with God, brought restoration to her, and then change to her. And because of that, her family was spared. Because later on we read that because Rahab protected the spies, when Jericho fell, the only family that lived was her family in her father's house. And she was brought into the Israelites nation. Incredible, right? God is not intimidated by your past failures, your past mess ups. He actually, in the midst of that, wants to bring restoration and transformation. That's who he is. Also, we see in Rahab this other truth that we should never underestimate the potential of one act of faith. Like one act of faith, never underestimate the potential. Man, Rahab is known because of one act of faith. She hid the spies, and that one act of faith changed her family. It changed her trajectory in life. Now when I say faith, I mean trusting God. I love how John Wimber, one of my heroes, he started the Vineyard Movement, and he says this. You spell faith R-I-S-K. He wasn't a bad speller. He just knew the reality of faith, that it's when we step out to follow God, when we don't know the answer, when we don't know the other end, that is actually faith that we see in the scriptures. Or I love how another pastor puts it. He says that faith explores what revelation reveals. Just let that hit you for a second. Faith explores. It goes after what God has revealed to you. It's active. It's moving. And this is what we see in Rahab. Man, Rahab's decision, it was a costly one. It put her in the jeopardy and the light in the eyes of the king, opposing her own king. It cost her potentially everything to do this. And it was that one act of faith that changed the trajectory of her life. And I would say the same for you and me. I had a friend named Joe when I was a mechanical engineer at a chemical company where I was just starting. I was sitting down there, kind of new engineer, and he walks in my room. He's an established, incredible engineer, well thought of. He sits down in my room and we begin to have a conversation. And over the course of the conversation, he asked about faith a little bit, asked me kind of what my background is, and then he invites me to this group of just a couple men that met once a week at a coffee shop before work, where they would talk to one another, encourage one another, and they would study some aspect of God together. And in those moments, with this other engineer who took a step of faith to invite me to be with him, I learned what it meant to actually hear God and not just to read about him on a page. What it looked to actually experience God and not just think about how other people have experienced them. And it was through that experience with Joe where we became good friends. And through that experience, his act of faith led me to this incredible pursuit of God. And as I experienced God, one thing after another. And today, honestly, I don't think I would be standing here today as your pastor if it was not for one act of faith by a guy named Joe who you'll never meet. Never underestimate one act of faith. No matter how big it is or how small it is, God wants to use it and he will do incredible things through it. Now, Rahab is not just mentioned in the Old Testament. We learn some things about her in the New Testament as well. And I think for time's sake, we got one chance to hit one of the passages. There's a passage in Hebrews and in James chapter 2. Today, I want to hit Hebrews chapter 11 because I think this gives us some insight into what it looks like for us to apply this story to our life. This is Hebrews 11, 29 through 31. It says, "By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days." And then look at verse 31. It says, "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." I want everybody to say, "By faith." By faith. A little louder. By faith. I want you to hear this and I want you to write it down. By faith, you will not perish. But without faith, you will perish. Now we could take that on a macro level, big picture, like heaven and hell, eternity. We could talk about that, man, apart from placing your faith in the one true God. Man, you cannot enter into the kingdom of eternity. You can't do it. But I want to take this down to a believer's level and say, even as a believer of Jesus Christ, if you don't live by faith, you will perish. On the inside, you will begin to die and you will be empty and you will be saying, what? There's got to be something more to this. And this is why I believe so many people are bored out of their minds with following Jesus. Not experiencing any joy, not experiencing any breakthrough, not experiencing any of the things, any of the truths that we declared today, is because we boiled down following Jesus to making one decision, expressing our faith one time, and then we live a life not expressing our faith again. And apart from expressing our faith, we will perish. We will die from the inside out. And I believe this is the part why many of us in this room, you're like, man, I show up and man, we sing three songs. I might like one of them on a good day. We get up and listen to some guy who's from the North, you know, some Yankee that talks about Ohio State. And then, man, we have to hit one song unless I get out of here early. And then I don't look back, right? And that's the sum of our following Jesus. Are you kidding me? But that's what we've made it most of the time. And many of us are sitting in this room and you're like, man, I'm so bored out of my mind. There's got to be something more. And I would say the more is found when we actually express our faith. And so I would ask you this question. And this is not a condemning question. This is not a question of a judgment. This is a real, like, let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Could you tell me one area of your life where you are acting in faith? Is there one area of your life where the story could be, by faith, Derek, fill in the blank? Is there one thing in your life? And once again, no condemnation, no judgment, but I want you to hear today, God is giving you an invitation to live life abundantly, and that is to live by faith, to step out of the comfortable and to follow him as he leads you. Because here's what I know, is you were created to express your faith. Every single person in this room, you were created to express your faith. This is what we see Paul write to the church of Ephesus. He writes this incredible passage on grace through faith. And so I want to read it to you. So this is a well-known passage, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Can somebody say amen this morning, right? Amen. Like, if we're going to get excited about anything, let's get excited about that. It's by grace through faith that we're, you know what, that's good news because everybody's on the same playing field. I don't care if you make $1 million a year or you're unemployed, whether you're white or black or Hispanic or Asian, whether you've been in church your whole life and you never missed a Sunday or today's your first day, listen, we are all on the same playing field when it comes to God. It is by grace through faith that we receive life. Can we all just say amen to that, right? Now he goes on though and he unpacks it. He said it's through faith that this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. This is this life to God. It's a gift for us to receive, not a result of works so that no one can boast. So it's not works. We don't earn this. We don't try to do things to gain something, but look at verse 10. We oftentimes miss this verse. "For we are his workmanship," or some say masterpiece. The original Greek is the word poem. We are his poem. Imagine that beauty. It says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for," what is this, church? We only got a couple people saying that. See, it says, in Christ Jesus, for what? Good works. Now this is not a legalistic message. No, we're saved by grace through faith. We're all on the same page there. But the reason why you're saved and created new in Christ is for good works. You know what good works are? Good works are expressions of faith. It's expressions of faith. Man, I trust God, I hear God, and I trust God. This is what you and I are designed for. This is what we're created for good works, to express our faith. You know what? You're never gonna find a story in the Bible that says, man, there was this man, he heard about Jesus, he prayed a prayer, and then the rest of his life, he just showed up to church. You're not gonna see that in the scriptures. You know what kind of stories you're gonna see in the scriptures? By faith, Noah built an ark when it wasn't raining. By faith, Abraham left his home country and went to a place that God didn't even tell him. By faith, David got up and took on Goliath with a slingshot and a stone when everybody else didn't believe God could do it. By faith, Peter stood up and preached to thousands of people Jesus weeks after he watched his own Jesus die on a cross. Paul, by faith, went to the Gentiles with the good news that it wasn't just for the Jews, it was for all people that would receive. By faith, Rahab hid the spies, and because of that, she did not perish. Listen, you are created, you come alive when you express your faith. And this is what I know about faith, is that as we express our faith, our trust in God, not just talk about it, not just sit in a room and give high fives and sing songs, but when we actually get out on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when we hear God and we obey him and we step out in faith, listen, this is what happens. You will be changed. Your community will change. And I believe generations will be changed. It's the only thing that ever has changed, actually, by the way, history. It's what the Bible's filled with, these kind of stories. And I can tell you, my life is no different. See, when I was in my mid-20s, I was gung-ho on making a lot of money and having a lot of power and for people to think a lot of me. And honestly, as I was thinking this week, I really wasn't that much different than Rahab and her occupation. I had sold my soul out to this desire of these idols in my life, this making the right money, having the right position, people thinking that I got everything together and got the picture perfect family. And this was my God. And I was selling out just like Rahab. And in the midst of that, man, I can tell you, I was so empty. And some of you can relate this morning. This is why I came to talk to you. So empty. Man, there's gotta be something more. I'm trying to fill it with money and trying to fill it with different things, with all kinds of addictions. And it was in that place of emptiness, of a broken marriage, of man, being an absent dad. It was in that moment, that time, where I experienced God invite me to something more. It's the same thing he's inviting in every one of us to today. And this is what he invited me. Derek, will you trust me? Derek, will you trust me? Now, mind you, I was already a believer. I'd already given my life to God. But how many of you know there's sometimes where we need to say, Jesus, I'm still with you. I want to follow you. And so that weekend this happened, my wife and I, we came together and prayed together for the first time in our marriage, years into our marriage. And we gave God this one simple thing. We said, God, you have our yes. And I remember saying, I was scared of that. I'm like, man, if I say this, man, I don't know what he's gonna do. And I said, God, if you want us to go to Africa in a mud hut, man, we are going to Africa in a mud hut. If you want me to be an engineer for the rest of my life, Lord, you gotta save me from that. But if that's what you want, I'll do it. God, whatever it is, my wife and I, we just have this expression of faith where we said, God, we're yours. We're following you no matter what. And little did I know that from that yes, to another yes, to another yes, to another yes, to another yes, I'd find myself in some city I'd never heard of before, Kingsport, Tennessee. With some football team I'd never heard about. Being the lead pastor of an incredible group of people. Never underestimate one act, one expression of faith. It's the only thing that's ever changed the world. So what would it look like for you this week to not feel like, oh man, I've messed up. Like I made so many bad decisions and man, I've just checked down. And some of you are 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And I want you to hear this. This message is just as much for you as it is for anybody else in this room. Listen, I believe your later years can be better than your former years. So even if you're 70 years old, you're like, man, I've never stepped out and risked anything. I'm telling you, man, this week could be the week that you step out and you ask the barista her name and what she likes to do. I don't know. All my things talk about coffee. I love coffee. I don't know. But every one of us, this is what we come alive. Like not just going through the motions, church, small group, read my Bible, checking it all. No. What would it look like for us to give an ear to heaven, towards heaven? And as we hear, as we're quickened to go look in that cabinet again for that darn charger, or to say this person, ask how this person's doing at work, or to make coffee for somebody who you really don't like very much. What about these expressions of faith? I believe this will happen. You will come alive like you've never come alive before. Because this is what you're created for. Not just going through the motions. So we're gonna sing one last song. It's called Do It Again. And it's this incredible declaration that God has done incredible things in the past. Brought breakthrough, brought miracles. And literally we're just joining with heaven and saying, God, will you do it again? God, will you do it again? And as we do, we're gonna have our prayer ministry team up here. And here's the invitation. Here's the invitation today that you could respond to. Three things that are on my heart, and I believe God has a grace in this room to bring answer to prayer. Number one, if you're like, today I wanna give my yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, I want all of you and I wanna follow you. Then today, listen, your life will be completely changed today for eternity. If you would say yes to Jesus. Or maybe you've been walking with Jesus and man, you feel so distant. Even though God is so near, you feel so distant. Maybe today, like I was in my mid-20s, you say, Jesus, listen, you have my yes. I wanna follow you. I want all that you have for me. Maybe that's you today. Number two, maybe you're the person I was talking about earlier. Man, I've been praying for you even as I've been preaching, that you're like, man, there's no hope. There's no light. What I've always experienced is gonna be the same. And so today you're feeling depressed and down and out. And I'm telling you today, the God of hope wants to overflow in your life and he wants to give you hope. So if that's you, when we stand up and sing, you come forward. You in the balcony, if you're up there, if you're in the middle of a row, man, you ask somebody to move and you come up here. But thirdly, if you're like, man, I need some transformation in my life. Like I've experienced the same cycle of the same patterns of relationships and finances. And it's just this wheel that you feel so overwhelmed with changing. I'm gonna tell you, you can't change it. You can't. But there's a God who loves to bring transformation through his Holy Spirit. And so today, if you're like, man, I want something different. I want this week to look different than last week. Anybody else agree with that? Like, I don't want to fall for the same trap of the enemy. Like, I don't want to speak to my wife the same way this week. I don't want to speak to my kids that way. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to come alive this week. That's you today, we want to pray for you, that you would experience that. And so our prayer team is gonna come up here and we're gonna ask you to stand up. And I wanna pray a blessing over you. And then as we sing that song, whether you're in the balcony or down the floor, man, you get up and receive prayer. And we're believing that the God of miracles is gonna meet you right in this moment. So Lord, thank you so much that you are a God who hears our prayers. You're a God who invites us actually to come to you with our junk, with our brokenness, with the things that we feel so ashamed of, so fearful of, so guilty of, and you take it all and you free us up to walk freely and uprightly in who you made us to be. So Lord, would you just anoint us with hope and joy in this moment. And we love you. By faith, we say we love you. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Come and get some prayer as these guys are leading us in worship.